Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares a message titled, Grateful for a Second Chance.
There are times in our life in which faith dictates that we declare a thing before we see it, before we can touch it, before we can grab it. In fact, there's a word for that in the Bible, Job chapter 22 and verse 28. It says, if thy will declare a thing, it shall be established for you. So look at someone and say, you have to speak what you believe. I'm speaking to somebody. You have to declare what you expect. Speak what you believe. Declare what you expect. So look at somebody right now and say, I am already healed. Look at somebody and say, you are already delivered. Come on, Anthony. Come on.
We say, speak it. Hey, speak it. Somebody, you got to believe it. You got to receive it. We lift our hands and we speak those things that is not as though they were. We speak it.
You declare something good about you.
Your
declare
healing,
something.
Your deliverance. Your freedom.
Declare it.
My favor.
Listen, Eternal Father, we say thank you. On this day, we are going to declare something that we believe. We will speak something that we are expecting to happen. We don't have to see it yet. But our faith tells us that if we declare it, it shall be established. So we declare that we are already healed. We're declaring that we are already delivered. We're declaring salvation in our house, salvation among our family. It is already done. Bless this time of sharing. Bless the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. Allow them to be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, our Redeemer. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. It is in your name we pray and give thanks. And those who know it is so, clap those hands and say amen. Look at someone and say, declare it. Declare it. Amen. As we stand for the reading of God's word, Mark chapter 16, verse 7. At the beginning of this month, we shared with you the intent was to share four messages dealing with gratefulness. Message number one was grateful to know him. Message number two on the second Sunday of July was simply grateful for every season. Look at someone and say every season. Then on last week, the third Sunday of this month of July, we shared a message grateful for God's timing. Grateful for God's timing. May not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Amen. And now, today, this final message in this series, Mark chapter 16, verse 7. One chapter in one book, one verse. Powerful verse in verse 7 of Mark chapter 16. And it reads, New Living Translation. The angel of God, just to give you some context, speaks to Mary Magdalene and the other women at the tomb on resurrection morning. And the angel of the Lord says this to them, "Now go tell his disciples," and here's the part that I like, "including Peter." somebody just caught it. The rest of you come to Sunday school. Somebody just caught it. "Go tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." And those who love the Lord, help me say amen. Amen. The message this morning, as we close this series out for the month of July, amen. Before I do that, let me just honor again all of the ushers, hospitality, and the healthcare ministries. Can we thank you all? Thank you for all that you do. Our subject for today's message is simply these words: grateful for a second chance. Now, don't say it if you don't mean it, but before you sit down, just find somebody you can wave at and say, "I am so grateful for a second chance." Now clap those hands, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So grateful. So grateful for a second chance. Somebody ought to know that if you holler or shout the day, tell them, "Don't judge me. You don't know what I've been through or what the Lord has done for me." Listen, one of the major flaws of humanity, one of the major flaws of human nature, is how often we are willing to give up on someone who has made a mistake. Or how often we give up on someone who perhaps have not lived up to our expectations. That's humanity for you. But we are at times, listen to this, too quick to judge and too slow to forgive. Somebody says, "Say that again, Pastor." Thank you, I will. Amen. We are at times too quick to judge, and we are too slow to forgive. And yes, this also applies to those of us who say we are Christians. Can I just keep it real? In fact, some would say this seems to especially apply to those who claim to be Christians. If there are any groups of people who ought to give somebody else the benefit of the doubt, it ought to be those of us that God has brought from a mighty long ways. Look at somebody and say, "Everybody has a story." Everybody has a past. All of us have things that we've done that we wish we would not have done. Amen. But we have to understand that God is such a forgiving God God is such a caring God that the folks say he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs. Now there are those who have problems forgiving. There are those, may I take my time and preach this, who have problems giving people second chances. They somehow think that giving someone a second chance is excusing their bad behavior. But nothing could be further from the truth. Y'all help me tell somebody the devil is a liar. Just because you forgive someone, gives them a second chance, it doesn't mean that you've forgiven or you've forgotten their bad behavior. Yes, we have forgiven them. But God is the judge of all the earth, not you. God is a God of second chances. May I say that again? God is a God of second chances. Failure does not have to be fatal. Please listen to me. Failure does not have to be fatal when you have a relationship with God. You can get back up again. I want you to remember this. Just because you've failed, just because you've made a mistake, doesn't mean that is over. Doesn't mean that it is fatal. In fact, listen to this. I sent this out as a teaser earlier this week, and if you don't get them, you need to sign up, because before I preach, I always send out what I am going to preach about early in the week. And I sent this statement out, Deacon Kennedy, to everyone. Our failures may define a moment in our lives. I need you to hear this. Look at somebody and say, it's just a moment in your life. Can I say that again? Our failure, in fact, y'all help me preach to somebody. Say, neighbor, our failures may define a moment in our lives. Here's the end. But they do not have to determine our destiny. Your failures do not have to determine where you end up. It may define a weak moment. It may define a bad moment in your life. It may define a moment in your life that you wish you could get back, but you can't. But it does not determine your destiny. How many of you are so glad that you don't have to end up in what you went through? In fact, y'all help me. I just need somebody who has a testimony that, Pastor, I am so glad I didn't end up like what I was going through. There are folk who wrote you off. Folk who thought your weakest moment would be your final moment. But God said, not so. Not so. The truth is, everyone has made mistakes. Everyone has experienced some type of failure. Doesn't matter who you are, how deep you are, how long you've been saved, what your title may be. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3 in verse 23, the New King James Version, he writes these words, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Look at somebody and say, you too. That means everybody in here have come short of God's expected. Now, let me help somebody out, because that's not a ticket for you to keep doing what you're doing. Now, there's a difference between perpetual and somebody who has fallen. Some of you wake up looking to fall someplace, okay? But he says, we all have fallen and fallen short. Here's how the New Living Translation puts it. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. We all have. We are human. It is called life. As people of faith, we are expected to be examples to others in the world as it relates to forgiveness and second chances. We are expected to take the lead. We are expected to show it more than anyone else on your job. You are expected to be the one who initiates forgiveness. Why? Because if you are who you say you are, and all the church you go to, all the hollering in people's ears you do, all the shouting all over people's feet you do, and you can't even forgive somebody who's mad. Some of you are mad at folk right now. You've been mad so long you've forgotten what you're even angry about. Look at somebody and say, let it go. Listen to this quote. Forgiveness does not excuse bad behavior. It simply prevents someone else's bad behavior from destroying your heart. Look at your neighbor and say, it is about your heart. Listen, it is I have to let it go because it will destroy me. I have to forgive because if I don't, it will destroy me. Usually the people you are angry at, they've already moved on. They've offended somebody else 10 times since they've offended you, and you're still worrying about it. But some things you've got to let go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. Some things you've got to just let it pass. In fact, let the P-A-S-S, P-A-S-T, tell somebody, let the past pass. Is there anybody know that there's some things in your past you need to just let go? You've got 20 seconds right now to give God a shout. We're going to let it go. I need you to do something with him. Come on, go with me. I need you to put your hands on your heart, take it off and throw it at the altar. And say, it's gone. One more time. Come on then. And throw it at the altar. And say, it's gone. Things I used to worry about, I don't worry about anymore. Things that used to get me upset, I don't get upset anymore. Go home and sleep good tonight because you've allowed the past to pass. You've allowed yourself to get over whatever was holding you back because life is too short. And the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If God is a God of second chances, God is the God of forgiveness. What about us? God is that awesome God of a second chance. Listen, in this incredible text that we've chosen for today's message, let us look at this text, which is perhaps one of the greatest examples in the Bible of the power of forgiveness and second chances. The text involves Peter, one of Jesus's key disciples. Listen to the context or the background of this text. The text occurs after Jesus' crucifixion, after Jesus' resurrection. In fact, it occurs on Resurrection Sunday morning. He had been abused, misused, crucified, buried, and now he had been resurrected from the grave. Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons were delivered. That isn't that something? Of all the people to send to the tomb to witness the resurrection of Jesus, he sent a woman who had been delivered from seven demons. Mother Holy Ghost missionary didn't qualify. But Mary Magdalene did. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Mother, holy you did now. Sister, holy you did now. Did not qualify. But Jesus said, I need to find somebody who's come through something. So he chooses Mary Magdalene. And the other women, he does Elder Gloria, and he sends him to the tomb. And the Bible says they visited the tomb. In verse 5 of the text says, as they entered the tomb was empty. Somebody say empty. That is the heart of our Christian faith, is an empty tomb. Somebody say, how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? Because the tomb was empty. Amen. They, however, saw an angel in the tomb dressed in white. The angel says to Mary Magdalene and to the other women that Jesus wasn't there, for he had risen from the dead. And then verse 7 is the heart of this message. The angel says to Mary Magdalene and the other women of the tomb, now go and tell his disciples, I'm going to skip a part, that Jesus says, meet them in Galilee. That would have been good all by itself. That's all he had to say. All he had to say is, go tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee. But that was not enough, because there was somebody that needed special attention. Help me, Holy Ghost. Two words included, embedded in the text in verse number 7. Now go tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus says, meet me in Galilee. Peter was the only one called by name. Not John, not Thomas, not any of the others. Go tell the disciples, including Peter, to meet Jesus in Galilee. Why Peter? Look at somebody and say, why Peter? Why Peter? Let me share with you some background of Peter, and perhaps you can understand. Number one, Peter was one of Jesus' key disciples. Peter was the first disciple in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19, to acknowledge who Jesus was. Let me share with you what that text says. Simon Peter answered, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Simon Peter, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter answered the question and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, look at what he says. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon the son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, here's what Jesus said to Peter, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against it. Verse number 19, that's not all, but I'm going to give you something. I will give you, who is he going to give it to? Somebody shout, Peter. Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, Peter, on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Peter was a special somebody. Peter was an anointed somebody that Jesus, you don't give your keys to anybody. Can I preach? You don't give the keys of your house to anybody. You give it to somebody you trust, that they've got your back. Look at your neighbor and say, Peter had the keys. Peter had the keys. Not only that, Peter had the faith. Matthew 14, verses 28 to 29, the disciples were in the boat. Jesus met them on a troubled water. You know the story. There was a storm out on the ocean, and Jesus went walking on the water, and they could not see his face. All they could do is hear his voice. All the disciples were in the boat. Oh, look at somebody and say, everybody was in the boat. But only Peter answered, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He didn't say, dry up the water, stop the storm. Lord, I just believe that if it's you, I can do what you are doing. Bid me to come on the water. Jesus answered with one word in verse 29. Jesus simply said, come. Come, Peter. And the Bible said Peter came down out of the boat and he walked on the water to Jesus. So Peter was somebody special. In Matthew 16, you are the Christ. In Matthew number 14, he left the boat and walked on the water, but he was still human. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Just because you are anointed doesn't mean that you are not human. Peter was still human with human problems and human struggles. And so when Jesus was betrayed, when Jesus was arrested, you know the story. And they said to Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? Three times. Not once, not twice, but look at somebody and say, three times. Ask your neighbor, how often did you mess up? Three times. Peter said, I don't know him. Get out of my face. Third time, he used choice words for the young lady. Now, wait a minute. Help me understand. Isn't this the same Peter that said, thou art the Christ? Isn't this the same Peter that walked out of the water on the boat? What I want to tell you is just because you're gifted and anointed doesn't mean you don't have to struggle with something. But Jesus understood that your struggle will not determine your destiny. I need to preach to somebody that Jesus given a second chance. I just need somebody to take a 20-minute praise break and thank God for giving you a second chance. You've got the next 20 seconds to... Woo! I give you my keys and I empower you, Peter. And I says to you that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. But yet you denied me. You've got my keys. I saved you when you were sinking. And yet you denied me. I went to your mother-in-law's house who was gravely ill. And I raised your mother-in-law from her deathbed. Who am I preaching to? And yet you denied me. Most humans would have said, I'm done with Peter. Some folk would say, I'm through with him. I don't want anything else to do with Peter. I find me somebody else because I can use anybody to be my witness. But Jesus wasn't bitter. Whew. Look at somebody and say, he wasn't angry and he wasn't revengeful. He wanted Peter to know that he had forgiven him. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5 says that he showed up to Peter before he went to any of the other disciples after his resurrection. In other words, he wanted to have a special one-on-one with Peter. I don't know what he said to him one-on-one, but perhaps it went something like this. Man, I know you messed up, but I still got you. Who am I preaching to? Some of you know you are like Peter. I know I put some confidence in you and you didn't live up to it, but I still got you. Jesus wanted Peter to know that despite what he had done, and all that he had been through, that he had not given up on him, and he still had plans to use him to do a mighty work. Is there anybody know that God can still use you? Somebody ought to give God a hand of praise to say that God can still use you. God can use anybody. Won't he do it? Well, God still uses all of us. In fact, after Peter denied him, Jesus empowered him to do something that no one else had the privilege of doing but Peter. Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first sermon of the Christian church on the day of Pentecost. Not John, Pastor Mac, think about it. If you would have asked me before reading the text that Jesus would choose one disciple to open up the church and preach the first New Testament sermon, perhaps I would have said it could have been John. Why? Because John never left his side. John was there with Jesus by the cross. John was entrusted with Jesus' mother. But when Jesus needed somebody to preach the gospel message, he chose Peter. Look at somebody and say, he's still choosing Peters. He's choosing people that got issues, because Jesus said, I need somebody that's got a testimony to say, look where the Lord has brought me from. Are there any Peters in here that's glad that God is still using you? Clap those hands and give God your best praise. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, listen to the text. Peter went on to preach, and 3,000 souls. Ooh. Who preached? Somebody say, Peter preached. Lying, cussing, fighting Peter. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, that Peter. With no ministerial credentials. Not Paul, but Peter, that fisherman who smelled like fish. That Peter who did not go to anybody's seminary. That Peter that everybody perhaps looked down on. Preached the greatest sermon in the New Testament. 3,000 souls gave their life to the Lord. Jesus would not allow Peter's mistakes to prevent what Peter would eventually become. I need you to hear this. Catch somebody, say, he will not allow your mistakes to prevent what you will eventually become. Who am I preaching to? He looked beyond your mistakes and he saw your potential. Jesus says, I see the Peter of Acts chapter 2. I don't see the Peter that cursed the little servant girl out. You see the Peter who cursed and fought. But I see the Peter that with the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 folk gave their life to the Lord. In fact, Peter's failures made him an even stronger witness of God's grace. Can I speak into somebody's life? Every mistake you've gone through, every failure you've made, you become a stronger witness for the Lord. Somebody can say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Is there anybody here glad to know today that God used your failures and your mistakes to make you a strong? Let the redeem of the Lord. He delivered us out of the pits of hell. He brought me from a mighty long way. My foot almost slipped. Preaching to somebody now that said, Lord, I almost didn't make it, but you gave me another chance. Three key takeaways from this message, and I'm done. Stand to your feet all over this place. Ooh, God told me to share this message. He wanted me to share it in the manner in which I have shared it, because he wants somebody in here to know that it's not over. Who am I talking to? Look at somebody and say, it's not over. God is not through with you yet. Three key takeaways I want you to carry with you today. Number one, we are all imperfect vessels that make mistakes and experience failures. I need you to say this in all sincerity. Look at somebody and say, I won't judge you if you will not judge me. So we all have been somewhere. We all have done something. Church is full of perfect vessels. I told the story this morning. I need you to hear this. One of the greatest interviews I've ever seen in my entire life was from one of my absolute favorite people in the world. I've never met him. I've read all of his books. He is perhaps, in my opinion, one of the greatest, most humble servants who've taken behind the pulpit. Pastor Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. He and his wife did an interview on CNN after their son tragically committed suicide. Go with me on this. Their son, Pastor Lawson, was a missionary who had traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. But he had an illness, committed suicide. Listen, Pastor Rick Warren says after the suicide at the homegoing service, people from all over the world came. Young people from Africa and Asia. And Rick Warren talks about how a young man said he sold just about everything he had just to come to the funeral from Africa to pay tribute to Rick Warren's son. And he looked at Pastor and Mrs. Rick Warren and said, I would not be where I am today if it had not been for your son. And Rick Warren speaks these words, in God's garden of grace, even broken trees can produce fruit. Does anybody in here know that you've been a broken tree? You've had your issues, you've struggled. Pastor Rick Warren said, the consolation to me was knowing that my son was flawed. But it wasn't fate. I believe that God still had a work for him to do. Even broken trees can produce fruit. We all are imperfect vessels. Second key takeaway is this. God is still willing to use you. All of us. Look at somebody and say, God wants to use us. Here's the second part of that second takeaway, and I need you to speak this to somebody. Say, he will never give up on us. Look behind you and tell somebody, he will never, say it with conviction, he will never give up on any of us. I don't care if the church gives up on you. They are not God. And here's the third and the final one. We are so grateful. Lift those hands and say, Lord, I'm grateful that we serve a God of a second chance. Come on, team, just softly. I just need music to play. I need to do something. God told me to do this. So grateful. Now, this is going to be difficult for some, but everyone's eyes are closed. God told me to do this. Come on, ministers, get in place right now. Get in place because there's somebody in here today. Somebody in here today that you want to leave here with your testimony being, I serve a God of a second chance. Somebody, wherever you are, from the balcony, from the back of the church right now, amen, walk down that aisle and just stand at this altar right now. Somebody right now. I'm not perfect, Pastor Jackson. I've got things that I've struggled with. Ooh. But this is the day in which I want to just say, Lord, I thank you. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. That's right. Come on, brother, all the way from the back. Sister, I thank you, Lord. Yeah. See, here's the problem. Nobody is ashamed to go to the emergency room when they're sick. Why should anybody feel ashamed to come to the altar to tell God, God, I need you right now. I need you right now. That's right. Come on. Look at God. Look at the altar. Look at the altar. Others are coming. Woo. Come on, Anthony, softly saying, second. Come on. Right now. Now here's the second part of this invitation. To those of you who are grateful that God has given you a second chance, I need you to do me a favor. You're the reinforcement. Come and stand behind those that are at the altar so that they can see that there's somebody behind them that has gone through something and God has brought them out. Come on. Ah, that's right, right. Eh? Come on.
Oh, Lord, I need to feel the touch of your hand.
Lord, I'm not perfect, but I'm grateful.
For my life,
I'm not perfect, but I'm grateful.
Understand.
Yeah. I'm not perfect,
Lord,
but I'm grateful.
Forgive me like only you can. For you're the God of a second.
Go get Peter.
Chance.
Go get Peter. Yeah. Come on, right now.
Lord, I'm tired
go get
of
Peter.
The way that I am.
Thank you, Lord.
In your love, I want
that's right.
to live.
Come on, that's right, young man. Others are coming.
To a
thank you, Lord.
For you're the God of a second chance. Hallelujah. For you're the God of a second chance. Show me.
Show me, Lord. Make me strong.
Make me strong.
Save me.
Restore my soul. For you're the God of a second chance. Say you gave me a second chance.
Somebody else, are you grateful? Are you grateful for the second chance? Come on, Lord.
Second chance. Oh, for you. God of a second chance.
For you, the God, come on.
Second chance. For you're the God, for you're the God of a second. You keep on forgiving me.
Do me a
favor.
I will need you to indulge us for a moment. Grab somebody by the hand. Come on.
For you're the God of a second. Keep on loving me. For you're the God of a second chance.
Go get Peter. 20 years ago, I first preached that message, and my sermon was "Go Get Peter."
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm so glad that when I was Peter, the Lord came to get me, didn't give up on me. Perhaps some of you have been like John. Maybe you were at the foot of the cross. Maybe you never did anything. Some of us were Peters. Ooh, any Peters in here? Ooh. There's some Peters who are struggling with alcohol. There's some Peters who are struggling with addictions. There's some Peters who are struggling with their faith. But God won't give up on you. God says, I know everything about you. I know your down settings and your uprisings. And I still choose you. God chose Peter above everybody else. I needed somebody to preach the first message on the day of Pentecost. And Peter, I choose you. I know your issues. I know your shortcomings. I know what you struggle with. But I see what you will become. God sees what you're going to become right now. And you can't allow your moment of failure to stop God's blessings that are associated with your destiny. Everybody, close your eyes right now. Come on. God told me that there, I did what God wanted. God said, Darryl, don't get lost in the emotions of this message, because I need them to hear this. There's some Peters that come to church every Sunday that struggles. Peter had a temper. Peter had a foul mouth. Peter had all kind of issues going on. But you know what? He showed up. And when you show up, God will use you. Amen, somebody. And on this day, somebody will leave here, and you will be the Peter of Acts chapter 2. You're not going to be the Peter that was in the gospel, but Peter of Acts chapter 2. Ooh. Eternal Father, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Because you could have left Peter out. You could have said, go tell my disciples, everybody but Peter. But you did not. You said, go tell my disciples and make sure you include Peter. That I've forgiven him. That I've turned the tables. That I still want to use him to do a mighty work for the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on Peters of 2026. There's some Peters standing at this altar that their future is going to be powerful because you did not give up on them in their darkest moments. At their lowest point in their lives. And we say thank you. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the unmerited favor of God. and what you're doing. It is in the name of Jesus we pray and give thanks. Those who know it is so, and it is already done, say amen. Amen. Now, if you want to make a commitment this morning, if you want to say, Pastor Jackson, here am I. I'm here right now. Come on, I'll wait on you. Come stand with me. Somebody is, I don't want to leave the way I came. And you want to make a, thank you, young lady. Somebody else, come on. Anybody else, come on. You want to join the church? You want to commit to the Lord? This is your moment. This is your day. Somebody else, come on. Somebody else. If God is calling you right now, come on. Where are my altar workers? Come on, man. Clap your hands for this young lady. And God is calling you. Anyone else? Yeah. Look at God. Look at. Come on. Look at God. Look at.
As only you can. You gave me.
Listen, as you leave here today, can you celebrate those who've given their life to the Lord? Amen. I want to invite you out Tuesday night. This is the last Tuesday night for July. In fact, this is the last Tuesday that I'm going to be teaching until September. And I just want to pray and anoint it, have a special prayer. Amen. Because how many of you know that God has been good to you?
Yeah.
Listen, I just need somebody to say these words. I am still grateful. Hasn't been an easy year, but I am still grateful. Amen. Come and be with us on Tuesday night and watch God move in a mighty way. Lift those hands to the Lord all over this place right now. Amen. Thank you for being here throughout the month of July. Thank you for your faithfulness. To those of you that are joining us online, thank you so much. Amen. Just remember, he never gave up on Peter. He will never give up on you. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, tomorrow, and forevermore. And those who love the Lord, help me say amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm grateful for a second chance. God bless you.
You gave me, oh, a second chance. Like only you can. You gave me, oh, a second chance. Second chance, second chance, second chance. Oh, 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 you gave me, oh, a second chance.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and now on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled Grateful for a Second Chance, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 072626. Again, the number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 072626. August is Children and Youth Ministry Month at Bible Way, and the theme for the month is Big, Being Intentionally Grateful, based on Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. All of the events and services are open to the youth of the church and the community. To see a complete list of activities for the month of August, please visit bwcar.org. Our annual Back to School Haircuts and Styles event happens Monday, August 3rd, 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. at the Bible Way Church Youth Development Center. For additional information and to schedule an appointment for your youth, please sign up online at bwcar.org. Walk-ins are also welcome. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.